Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Well, the...
Here's John Williams.
Sun is shining. Friday, November, Bright Side Life segment closes our show. Where will you be?
Lord have mercy.
At 2:40 this afternoon. It's 1:06. Where will you be at 2:40? We'll do the Bright Side. Invite you to call in, text in, give us some good news, little or large. Tell us why you're smiling. And I'm telling you, it's a group hug that works every single time on the radio. People will say, my son is coming home from the war. My daughter just graduated from med school. Or, hey, have you tried the new chicken sandwich? I mean, whatever's making you happy makes us happy. It's called The Bright Side, and we want to hear it. We'll do that at 2:40, as it is Friday. We'll visit with Marlon Garcia in a little bit. She's the Sun-Times editorial board member and columnist who today said in the Sun-Times, you know what, those IHSA kids from the Chicago Public Schools who don't get to participate in the state tournaments and the cross-country meet this weekend, they shouldn't. Hokey smokes! We finally found somebody to advocate for that side, because I've said all along, when I get to be king, those kids are running in the meet. Are you kidding me? Why in the world don't they let the kids participate in the soccer and the football and the cross country and all of the things that they want to participate in? Well, it turns out they have bylaws, and if we bend the bylaws now, then we'll bend them later, and then we've got a conundrum, don't we? That's what adults say and do that are too steeped in rules. I'm a great situational ethicist. But that's why I want to be king someday, because I think I'll get it right most of the time. And in this case, I don't think this is a hard one. Yeah, you can run in the cross-country meet, for crying out loud. Marlon, why are you saying they couldn't at 1:35? Hopefully she's not listening right now and will decide to join us. Oh, and by the way, the biggest football game of the year in college football will come your way on Saturday. We asked Kevin Powell and Sam Panionovich to just jump on with us for a minute and in the 2 o'clock hour tell us why, if you're near a TV this weekend, you should watch that game, what to look for. Okay, Steve, you said, are we going to do this again? And we're going to do this again because that's what we do during the holidays. We've gone past now the Halloween controversies, and we're moving on to Thanksgiving and Christmas controversies.
Can't we just focus on the baby Jesus?
Well, first of all, you can't say baby Jesus. So the latest is the, and this is the second year we've really done this.
I was going to say, it's not the latest.
Well, it's the annual.
This is like watching a Hallmark Christmas show.
It comes back every year.
Same one.
And the version of it we have this year is John Legend and Kelly Clarkson have Baby It's Cold Outside. And it's the new... It's the new think on what that date is like in 2019, how that should play out. But you can't appreciate that unless you at least take a line or two from the original song. So let's just go down this road, because they're both great songs, but they're just completely different attitudes. Remember yesterday we spent some time on this show talking about how millennials feel different than boomers or Gen Xers and Gen Zers. If you're 70 or 60, you feel differently if you're 50 than somebody who feels 20 or 30 about a whole host of issues. And this song is a little emblematic of that. So here is Louis Armstrong, Ella Fitzgerald. This is line one, Ella.
I really can't stay. Mama, it's cold outside. I've got to go away. I said it's cold outside. I wish I knew how. Tickle the debt that you dropped in. To break this spell. To break this spell.
It's lovely. It's also just a little pernicious, isn't it? It's just a little sinister. Welcome to 1953. So Kelly Clarkson and John Legend have the newest version of that.
I really can't stop.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I've gotta go away.
I can call you a ride.
This evening has been.
I'm so glad that you
so
dropped in. Time spent with you is paradise.
Mama will...
Time spent with you is paradise, he said. But he also said, but I can call you a ride. Louis Armstrong is virtually getting the cocktails out, slipping her a Mickey, and hiding the keys. The latest version is John Legend saying, but I'll call you a ride. I'm so glad you dropped in. Time spent with you is paradise, but I'll go ahead and help you with the ride. This is Louis Armstrong, line two, producer Elif. This is the way it played out once upon a time.
All the wheels start to worry.
Mama, what's your hurry?
Father will be pacing the floor.
When he's gotta go, he's gotta go.
Really, I'd better hurry.
Please don't worry.
Well, maybe just a half a drink more.
Put some hot records on while I pour.
Okay, so in the new version, we'll take you up to that line. Put some hot records on while I pour. But remember now, John Legend has a completely different attitude than Louis Armstrong.
I'll call the car and tell him to hurry. Wait, what are you still living home for? His name is Murray. Oh, we're both adults, so who's keeping score?
So there's a little opportunity here where we're both adults. Maybe we'll have another drink. Maybe you'll stay. But the lines from John Legend in that verse are, I'll call the car and tell him to hurry. Not just I'll call him, but I'm going to tell him to hurry. Murray is going to hurry. Wait, what are you still living at home for is a very funny line. Play that, track two again from John Legend, producer Elif.
I'll call the car and tell him to hurry. Wait, what are you still living home for?
That's funny. Wait. John Legend's like, wait, you're still living at home?
Yeah, I think that's so valid.
That's very funny.
I mean, okay, or accurate.
It's contemporary, isn't it?
That's so this, what I'm trying to say.
This is the new version, right? But again, he's already got on his phone, his name is Murray, and he's hurrying. So he's doing everything he's supposed to do. The other thing about this latest version, and there was a song like this last year, is that I think it's still sexy and romantic, and you still feel the warmth between the two of them. So it's not like we need to consummate this date of relationship tonight. We can still have all of that energy, and yet I'm going to hug you and put you in the car, and you're going to go with Murray. I mean, that's the way this is starting to play out. Starting to play out. Okay, do we have line three from Louis and Ella?
The neighbors might think,
Mama, it's bad out there.
Hey, Pops.
What's that?
What's in this drink?
There ain't no fun to be had out there, you know.
This evening has been...
ain't even started yet.
So nice and fine.
Take another drink of wine. Maybe you change your mind.
Often said, no, 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 sir.
You don't have to call me sir.
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
Give it up, give it up, give it up.
Yeah, John Legend's not saying that. Okay, so compare that. Again, it's just such a song of its era. So the problem with this is, right, you really can't compare apples and oranges. But it doesn't mean that we can't progress. So we go from there to line three from John Legend.
Been scored. I think they should rejoice.
I have one more drink.
It's your body and your choice.
Oh, you really know how.
Your eyes are like starlight now. One look at you and then I fell. Then you really ought to go, go, go. Well, Murray, he just pulled up outside.
Murray's here, and Legend's virtually pushing her out the door. I swear to God, Louis Armstrong is actually doctoring her drink. The lines from John Legend are, it's your body and it's your choice. Boy, that's a line from a sign at a rally these days. And then he says that again, and then he says, Murray just pulled up outside. Okay, so you know how the song goes with Louis and Elle. I'm not going to keep going back and forth, but let's Elif take it to the next part of the song. And in the second half of the song with John Legend and Kelly Clarkson, the new version that came out today, Legend's got a new Christmas album out, so we're listening to this song for the first time. He says in the next four lines, listen, you need to go home now.
I simply should go.
Text me when you get home.
Oh, I'm supposed to say no.
I guess that's respectable.
This welcome has been.
I feel lucky that you
so
dropped in. But you better go before it's gone. Well, gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there.
Oh, he loves my music, baby, I'm sure. I'm a genie, tell me what your wish is. Oh, that's something we should probably explore.
So that's just funny to me because, so the first half of that, he's saying, listen, text me when you get home. I've been lucky you dropped in, but you better get home before it storms. And then she is like, okay, but maybe I want to stay. You see her making the decision on her own, saying, well, my sister will be suspicious and my gossipy neighbors will pay attention, but maybe I'll just stay for a cigarette more. Incidentally, here's how times have changed. The most shocking line in this song is that she's staying for a cigarette more. If you had the choice between your daughter staying over at her date's house overnight or your daughter smoking a cigarette, which would you choose? I think I would rather my daughter sleep with the guy overnight rather than be a smoker. But here in this cleaned up contemporary version, she's still smoking. Don't be a smoker! I can just see John Legend in the version next year saying, but find an alternative to tobacco because it's really bad for your lungs. And I don't think you should be vaping either because the research is still out on that. Okay.
I just think it's funny that you think the cigarette is worse than her. Never mind.
Oh, absolutely. If my choice
there's just no good choice there.
Right, but if you but I
as
mean
as a dad.
I know that, but this song is like saying, okay, but now we're hip, we understand what the options and choices are, and this is the responsible version.
Yeah.
She's staying for a cigarette more.
I was surprised too, because the cigarette isn't in the original version.
No, it is. Well, Louis Armstrong, different people have done different versions of the songs, but Just a Cigarette More is in the original. But I thought, heck, if we're gonna clean this thing up for 2019, let's not have her smoking. Maybe she could have a kale sandwich on her way in the car with Murray. Okay, so anyway, the thing is, I think in the Louis Armstrong and Ella Fitzgerald song, it's vague, but you believe that she stayed overnight. Here's the end of the story. This is the end of the song. Does she stay with John Legend, have the cigarette more, and then stay? Or does Kelly Clarkson go home? You decide.
Oh, baby, I'm well aware.
Say, lend me a car.
Oh, keep it, girl, I don't care.
You've really been grand.
I feel when you touch my hand.
Don't you see?
I want you to stay. It's not up to me.
Be talked to.
Well, they can talk, but what do they know?
At least there'll be plenty.
Oh, let them mind their business. And go.
Baby, just go.
It's cold, baby. It's cold, baby. Call out sign.
So maybe she stayed. Maybe she stayed. She says, but I don't want to go. He says, baby, just go. Actually, she says, baby, just go, and I don't want to go. He's not keeping her. Murray saying, ma'am, I really can't stay. What am I going to do here? You're going to get a bad rating. So there's the latest version. A little frustrating when we cut it up that way because you can tell that that's such an awesome version of this song, but you can listen to it online or consume it however you get your songs. Take line one first or take the break first? Producer Elif says, talk to Bill. Hey, Bill, you're on WGN. How are you?
Yeah, if you listen to those two songs between Louis Armstrong and Ella and between Legend and Kelly Clarkson, the one with Louis Armstrong, he's the one spiking the drink and doing all that stuff, trying to get her to stay because you know what he wants to do.
Right.
Well, the John Legend one, she's the one that wants to stay, and he's trying to get rid of her.
Right. And
it's no different. Just the woman's trying to induce the guy, and the guy's trying to induce the woman.
I don't agree with you entirely. I think you're right about the first part, and then you're right. She's the decider. She's making the decision
right,
in the second
one. Right, right. She's the one that wants to stay.
But that's okay. I mean, it's you know, adults can do whatever they want.
Okay, they say the original version was too seductive. Well, Louis Armstrong one is seductive because you know what he's really trying to do.
Right.
Well, what's the difference between John Legend and Kelly Clarkson? She wants to stay, so she's trying to seduce him so she can stay.
No, I think that's where you and I differ. I agree with you about your interpretation.
Oh, no, John. You didn't listen to the words again. You listened to it again. Yeah. He's the one that's trying to get her to go, and she's the one that's trying to stay.
I think that, I have a different reading on this. Trust me, I've listened to the song about four times today. Elif and I have been working on this. But I'll give you my read on it and how you and I feel about this differently after this. So I appreciate the call from the last guy who said that in the original Baby, It's Cold Outside, Louis Armstrong is really working hard to lure Ella Fitzgerald in. And in the new version, it's Kelly Clarkson, he said, that's trying to lure John Legend, saying, no, let's stay together tonight. I don't see it that way. I think what it is it's a completely level playing field in the more recent PC version. I hear you breathing through your mouth again.
No, I just it was the original one was them both toying, which it was an even playing field. They're both toying and flirting with each other.
They are, but don't you think that he is? If that were your daughter, wouldn't you wish that young man would respect her wishes more?
But she's going back at him saying, well, I don't know. She's wanting to be lured more.
And Ella Fitzgerald is to Louis?
She's playing coy, yeah.
She's playing coy.
They both have the power. I think there's equal power in that.
I don't.
I know.
In the more recent version, well, put it this way. Do you hear Louis Armstrong saying, it's your body and your choice? It's your body and your choice in consecutive lines. I mean, that just doesn't even ring well.
No, it's of course not. But I'm just saying, people are all worked up about the original, and I think I read the power structure very differently.
Do you agree with me that in the second version, the power is shared? It's not her luring him. It's both of them making decisions that are respectful of each other.
Yes.
And the last caller just said, no, now she's the one that's luring John Legend in. And I think Legend, when he says things like, it's your body, it's your choice, or I've been lucky that you dropped in, but you better go before it storms, is making the decision 100% yours. Listen, Legend's happy if she stays, but he's not going to make it difficult for her to go home. He called Murray. He's got the Uber driver out front. We got some calls about this. Go figure. Jill, you're on WGN. What did you want to say? Hi.
Hi. I was just saying, some years ago, Michael Bublé, on one of his holiday specials, he did the song with Miss Piggy, and they flipped it, and she wouldn't let him leave.
I got to find that. I can... I don't know of that song, but I'm already laughing. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, it was cute.
Yeah, thanks, Jill.
I'm a big fan. Thanks, John.
I'm a big fan of you. Thanks for tuning us in. We sure appreciate it. And John on line three, you're on WGN. Hi, John.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call. If I could be allowed to make 2 points here, because this debate last Christmas made my head want to explode.
Yeah, my sons almost divorced me when I brought this up.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it on I think it was GMA this morning, and I was like, really? So, I mean, I have a daughter, and I will tell you, when she was young enough that I could still control the music that she was listening to, I mean, there are an endless amount of rap songs which have the most over-the-top, degrading, and sexual, it's not even innuendo, this, yep. I mean, you could, you know, yep. read into it, but, I mean, you take Nelly's It's Getting Hot in Here, So Take Off All Your Clothes. Is that a suggestion or a demand?
Okay, but I understand that the musical culture is pretty different. Hey, Olive, do you see what I did over here? Well, but what's your what do you think of this new version of the song? Is it correct?
I find the new version like so absurd that if anybody downloads it, I would be shocked if anybody. This is like PC off the rails.
I know.
It's in Elf. I mean, Elf is one of my favorite holiday movies, as is for our family. They sing it in Elf. There's nobody's trying to seduce anybody. Everybody's reading into this that there's, sex involved. How do you know the guy just doesn't want to be, guys don't like to be alone. Maybe he just, doesn't want to be alone that night. There's nobody like, jumping in bed with the lyrics of this song. It's like one of the most innocent songs probably ever written. And now it's turned into, oh my God. I mean, roofies weren't around when Armstrong did it or when Dean Martin did it. So the worst case scenario is that the girl's got a double shot in her Manhattan. It's, it's not like they're...
Wait a minute, there's nothing wrong with a double shot Manhattan, for crying out loud. I'm going to have one this evening.
I would agree with you. At 5:01, I'll be doing the exact same thing.
I may do one in about 5 minutes, actually. I'm out of time. I got to run. Thank you for the call.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, listen, I appreciate you listening and calling in. So many of you agree with him. Steve, every now and then I think there's a parade behind me. I turn around, no one's there.
Yeah, this song makes me angry now. This whole thing, sorry.
630, hey, that song sucks. It's not progressive enough. It should be a couple of lesbians. No, it's not. Stop it. John, this is a jazz standard. It should be improvised upon. John, that song is so emasculating. In fact, the next text, unrelated to that, says, I miss John Wayne.
Honestly, if you could become king and just make sure that none of us ever hears any version of that song ever again, I think I'd be the happiest.
Some of you don't like the version of the John Legend, Kelly Clarkson thing. I think it's, of course, I'm a big Legend fan. Who's not? Kelly Clarkson's terrific. I get a big warm fuzzy listening to this version. Big warm fuzzy. Ready to do the news, Steve?
Yep.
All right, Elif's going to run around and hit a button, and then you're going to do the news in the next half hour. Marlon Garcia from the Sun-Times talks to us about the CPS athletes and why they shouldn't be allowed to participate this weekend. I'll also talk to you about bicycle car rules. Steve, I have exciting news.
What's that, John Williams?
We're done talking about Baby It's Cold Outside.
You think we are?
Hooray. Well, here's just a couple of texts. John, you're listening to an old song with today's ears. The John Legend song is lame. I don't think we say lame anymore. The man is supposed to pursue the woman. Would you have gotten together with your wife, John Williams, if you did not pursue her?
Okay, that one's ridiculous, and we all know it.
I don't know. Do you think anyone would have pursued John?
As I recall, on our first date, when I borrowed money from her to go to McDonald's, and we went to see 2001 A Space Odyssey on campus at Southern Illinois University of Carbondale.
Not a surprise.
And when you ask Brenda what that movie is about, she says, well, they're these monkeys, and they throw a bone in the air. That's when she checked out. 708 says there's another unnecessary reboot of the John Legend, Kelly Clarkson version. I like the Dean Martin version better. And I'm surprised that the driver in the new version is Murray, not Mary. John, your examples make me glad of the two songs. I'm a boomer. It's never been my favorite, John, but wow, that's the best version ever, the John Legend one. Appreciate the breakdown of Baby It's Cold Outside. I found that very interesting, Steve Bertrand didn't say. And finally, hey, John, at Adam's Family Play in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin last night, they played the traditional song and they said, this is for all you boomers out there. All right, enough of that. We've been talking on this show about the Chicago Public Schools and the teachers' strike. Now that it's resolved, the last issue about that, besides the ad they're running right now, is the fact that the athletes won't be able to participate in the state cross-country meet at Detweiler Park in Peoria. And I've been one of those people arguing for what I think is the common sense of the thing. Whatever your rules are, fix the rules, let the kids run. Or break the rules and let the kids run. Marlon Garcia in the Chicago Sun-Times wrote about that today. And she says the following. The IHSA should win its case. That is, the IHSA, the governing body over all of this, itself is in court trying to keep the student-athletes from running. And there's a good reason why, but I just don't see it. So we called Marlon and said, hey, Marlon, will you explain that to us? Marlon, it's John. You're on WGN. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. So just walk us through this a little bit. Tell me where we are and kind of how we got here. I mean, I think we all know the basics, but why is it that the IHSA is trying to keep the student athletes from running?
Well, they will run. The athletes will run. The appellate court is going to hear the case next week. In the meantime, the lower court's ruling will stay in place.
Oh,
so
I
they
see.
They will run tomorrow, and that's good for them. You know, they're not yo-yos. It's tough on them to go, you know, you're in the race, you're not in the race, to go back and forth. So that is good for Chicago Public Schools and especially those athletes.
So but, I agree with you on that. Keep going.
But the case will be heard, and on the rules, on the merits of the case, there's no question in my mind that the appellate court would rule them ineligible and would stand by the IHSA rules. You might not like the rules. I don't like a lot of their rules. But the rules related to a strike have been around for decades. And if you want to change them going forward, there's a process for that. And nobody's ever done that. I mean, I wrote 22 years ago when I covered this sport for the Chicago Tribune. I mean, I interviewed athletes who had this problem. They were sidelined from state competition because of a strike. And they thought it was very unfair then. But nobody's ever done anything. And that's up to high school principals, athletic directors. If they think there should be a change, they can change it. But here's the thing, okay? In any level of competition, whether it's high schools, colleges, or Olympics, professional, in the postseason, you have to be there for the first round for which you're scheduled. And if you're not, you're out. And that's very important to understand. I mean, we're not talking about a hot chocolate 5K. We're talking about a sanctioned competition. And it means something. And it means something to everybody. And there's this, you have to have this notion of fair play from the outset. And that's what the judge, I don't think, considered. I don't think he considered a lot, frankly. I think he really blew it. But, you know, everything, the kids are going to run. Hopefully this will get cleared up in court. And if people want to change the rules, do it. Do it, you know, as soon as you can. Don't wait for this to come up again.
Well, in the case of the cross-country runners, they missed the regional. They were then advanced automatically to the sectional. And if they did well enough in the sectional, then they advanced to state. So my understanding is that nobody is running in the state meet that at least didn't do well enough in the sectional. Now, maybe they shouldn't have been in the sectional because they didn't compete in the regional, but that's no fault of the kids. Am I correct in understanding that the kids that are going to state from the Chicago Public Schools did meet the qualifying standards?
They met the qualifying standards from the sectional race. They
right.
did not meet the qualifying standards for the postseason.
Well, I don't know what the purpose of that distinction is. It seems to me like if you place well enough or run well enough at the sectionals, you qualify for the state tournament. I mean, the state.
Did you play sports? Hang on a second. I'm sorry, John. I'm not trying to be
no,
come
I did.
Down on you hard.
Well,
or
I did, and
you?
I've watched the state cross country meet at Detweiler Park in Peoria, and I'm thinking that if you put 15 more kids from Chicago at that starting line, it's massive. It's nobody is harmed by these kids running in the final meet. Go ahead.
Well, the judge did inflict harm, and then it was left to the organizers, in this case the Illinois High School Association, to clean up the mess. Because he penalized kids who had advanced from the regional onto the sectional, because it's only a limited number of teams and individuals that advance. So he didn't give much thought to, oh my gosh, if these kids go, I am going to leave other runners out.
Right.
So then you keep creating exceptions. And, you know, so then the IHSA had to decide, okay, so now we have to make the field bigger. But really, see, I see uniformity here, too, as being very important. It kind of worked out, right? I'll put air quotes around worked out, because this was cross country and you could expand the field.
Right.
This would have been so chaotic in a sport like soccer or a volleyball. So now you're making special rules because somehow you see that, like, oh, it's easy to do this in cross country. But that, to me, doesn't make it right. And I think to most coaches, it doesn't make it right.
Okay, and let me ask you this. If the rules for the IHSA were changed so that there was this flexibility that was allowed, then would you be with me on this? Are you adhering to your position only because it's in the rules, or do you think those are good rules?
Well, I think they're fair rules, but you know what? It's not going to change. It's not going to change because nobody will ever go for that. Nobody will ever go for, oh, if you miss the first round, oh, sure, you can come in the second. Nobody would ever go for that.
I don't think it's that, it's not that willy-nilly, if you will. The only reason the kids missed the first round is because they weren't allowed to run in the first round, and that you put them in the second round, I still don't think harms anybody else. For instance, you said, well, what about the kids who are now denied the opportunity to go to state because they didn't place well enough? The only reason they didn't do well enough, those kids denied the opportunity, is because they weren't as good. At the end of the day, my version distills the very best runners who are rewarded with the chance to go to state.
John, you're not taking into account the fair play from the outset of a postseason series. But I will say this, too. This is why this rule would never change, because what works for cross country doesn't work for just about every other sport.
I agree.
So the principals who would vote on this for a rule change, they would see this and they would say, no, we can't do this. You know, we can't make a rule for cross country and hurt soccer, volleyball, football, basketball, you know, everything else, you name it. And so this is what we have to live with. And I am 95% sure the appellate court, if they're not a bunch of activists the way this judge was in the previous round, in the previous ruling, you know, they're going to see the merits. And I know it's hard for people to understand, you know, just let them run and, you know, these kids work so hard. But there are a lot of times in life where you work hard and you come up against a rule. And it stinks. Let me tell you.
I know that. But Marilyn Garcia is on a phone line, the Chicago Sun-Times columnist, editorial writer, too. You're on the editorial board of the Sun-Times, correct?
Yes, I am. And I got to say, I don't think everybody on the board agrees with me, but that's all right.
Well, but I think that fair is fair, and we need to learn to adhere to the rules. And sometimes you come up on the short end of the stick, and that's a great life lesson. So I'll go with you there, but I still don't think that adherence to rules that are bad rules, though you have to do it, makes those rules good. For instance, couldn't you carve out an exception for the uniqueness of cross country and say that in this case, you don't have to re-bracket, you don't have to have teams individually playing other teams like you do in soccer, football, baseball, basketball. You just line the kids up and let them run.
That's a great point, except they'll never do it. It's, you know, that would work. That what you're proposing there, it would work, and it would work well.
I'd write that rule.
The principals and the athletic directors wouldn't go for it. That, you know, that's my prediction.
And I guess what got this whole thing started, Marilyn, is that the rule is that when you're on strike, if the tournament starts after the strike, then you can't be in the tournament. Is that correct?
If you're on strike when the postseason begins,
right?
If the postseason begins Saturday, and on Saturday or Friday you're still on strike, you're out.
And that's an IHSA rule.
Voted on by the high schools, yes.
And the lower court, though, said no, that should not apply to these cross-country kids. Is that correct?
The lower court said something really ridiculous. I mean, I know I sound heartless, don't I?
You sound like an awful person.
I think people think I'm heartless, and you know, my husband would probably agree. But what the judge said is, I'm tired of adults making decisions that rob children of their childhood and their dreams. It isn't going to hurt the IHSA to let these kids run. That's what he said, and that was amazing to me that a judge would just throw out the rule book.
Yeah, yeah.
And say, you know what, this isn't that important. You know, to the kids who ran in the regional and did things the right way, to the kids who last year, the year before, got caught up in a strike, to the volleyball players, this, we're just going to do this because I am tired of adults ruining things for kids. I just, they, you know what? I'm going to be frank. It's garbage.
That sounds like the sort of thing a talk show host says, not a judge says, right? You'd think that the,
exactly.
The judge would appreciate precedent or rules more than his heart.
Well, I think it was an episode of Night Court.
You know what somebody told me? Actually, somebody who attended the hearing said it was something out of Ally McBeal.
No kidding. Really?
He was so quirky, and he had a problem with one of the lawyers, the tone of their voice.
Did the music... Did the music swell when he said it, you know, kind of a West Wing sort of thing? And you feel the justice coming through, the out-of-the-box thinking judge doing right by these kids. Tears in your eyes as you go to commercial. Okay.
Boy, I'm sorry I didn't go to the hearing because I think it would have been something, and I would have loved it if somebody would have kind of given a play-by-play of what how it went down in that room, because Ally McBeal is what somebody said to me. It was bizarre, they said.
Okay, do you have another minute? I've got a lot of calls, and some of them agree with you, so you might want to stick around for just a minute. On a phone line is Marilyn Garcia. She's with the Chicago Sun-Times, and her position was that the previous court's ruling was wrong, and for that matter, it's going to be pert near impossible for them to change the rules. Craig Virgin, you and me have all been standing around going, you know, this isn't that hard to fix. So yes, it is, says our guest. The texts include these, I agree with your caller. The next text is, I agree with John, not the caller. 262 said, come on, John, you're smarter than this. 847 says it's an easy fix. I think it is. 708, John, what about soccer teams and volleyball teams? They could not jump into the sectional. They could not play in the regionals, so they were out. Agreed, but soccer is different than cross country. I don't see the point in excluding those kids. I would abridge the rules. John, so then why did they make an exception for the football teams? Actually, Craig Anderson spoke about that yesterday. Can you clear that up? Why was Simeon allowed to play even though they hadn't played 8 football games? Are you up on that, Marilyn?
Well, not as well as our football writer, Mike O'Brien, but I did talk to Craig Anderson about that. He's the executive director for the IHSA, and I talked to him a little bit about that on the phone. And, you know, it was Simeon and I think 2 other schools, including a charter that wasn't on strike, that got an exception there. And so... that had to do with games played. That didn't have to do... Simeon raised it, that issue because of the strike, but Simeon could have petitioned for that whether or not they were on strike. It didn't matter. They had, I think, a team forfeited against them, and I don't know that there was much they could do about that. But that was a situation where they petitioned the board but could have done so even if they weren't on strike.
Well,
they wouldn't
have
needed to. They wouldn't have needed to if they weren't on strike, by the way.
You know, Marilyn, sometimes the Simeon football team kids just need to learn life's not fair. Rules are rules, and maybe you should have scheduled more games to make sure you got in the requisite number of games. I'm afraid I can't help you, Simeon. That would have been the adherence to the rule that you're asking the cross-country runners to accept.
No, it wouldn't surprise me if Simeon did try to find another opponent. I just don't know if it came fast enough that they could do that.
But you see the point. But you see the point that an exception was granted.
I see your point. I see your point. Now, I'm pretty sure Anderson ruled against Simeon and those teams, and then his board overruled him. So the IHSA has, you know, that appeals process, and I can see why it seemed unfair to people. I'm neutral on that, to be honest. I mean, I can see their point, and but it's in some ways apples and oranges because it's not as though it had to do with the start of the postseason.
I don't think it should matter at all what the premise or the reason is. The rules are the rules, and they've bent the rules for the football team. I'm asking them to do the same for the soccer team. You and I don't see eye to eye on that, but let's just pause for a minute and take a quick call or two if we can.
Sure.
We'll start with line, I think, 4, right, Elif? And that's Chuck. Hey, Chuck, jump in there. What did you want to say? You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I'm thinking that perhaps you should take one other position here. The fact that there is a need for everybody to run every mile, because no matter how good you are, you might be one of the top runners in the state, things can happen, such as a sprained ankle. And that's just part of the sport. And so if one group of runners don't have to run one of those particular races, that actually kind of gives them a little bit of an advantage. They haven't done as much as everyone else.
You have a comment on that, Marilyn?
I think that's an excellent point, and nobody's really raised it that I've heard, but, I mean, that goes to the point of that's why you run every race. That's why in the postseason, you know, everybody's expected to be there, you know, at every round.
Bill, you're on WGN. I have 20 seconds. Make your point. Bill, what do you want to say?
Yeah, I agree with her because my theory is we treat kids too much favoritism. Like you'll have a group of kids. There'll be a first place, a second place, and a third place, and then they'll give every kid on the team the same trophy.
All right, hold on a second. Last comment on that, Marilyn. What do you want to say?
I'm with Bill.
I'm out of time. Listen, you're a delight to talk to, even though you and I don't agree on this one, but it was very interesting and well-done writing in the Sun Times today, and I appreciate you coming on our show.
Thanks. You guys are terrific. Take care.
I appreciate your time.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
I think we had some.
Here's John Williams.
Last hour. How about that? This is John. They just didn't all line up. Every now and then, like I told Steve, I think I've got a parade behind me. Turn around. No one's there. But some of you agreed with my position in the last half hour. Thanks again to Marilyn Garcia, the Chicago Sun-Times editorialist. She said, no, those kids should not be allowed to participate in the state meets and tournaments because that was the rule. And some of you said, hey, John, the rules are rules. But others said things like, you know what, sports should be fair, and this isn't fair. They should break or bend the rule. In fact, 847 texted in and said, hurry up, John, and be king. Paperwork's tied up in Cook County, so I really haven't been able to get that thing done yet, and I've been working on it for 22 years. It's sort of like getting your real ID. It's something that's been mandated, but the paperwork is tied up.
No, it's easier than that.
It's funny because yesterday we visited with Dave Drucker from the Secretary of State's office. He's the spokesperson, and he came in to join us and just talk a little bit about real ID. You've been hearing those commercials. 1 year from right now, 1 year from now, you may have to have real ID. You won't if you've got a passport, blah, blah, blah. But basically, you've got a year to get it done. And then we started to take calls, and people are like, well, my left-handed son's 14, and he's going to Canada.
Right.
So now what happens? And he didn't have all the answers at the ready. For instance, you said as a global entry person that you thought your global entry ID would work as a real ID. He wasn't so sure. He called me today and said it will.
He said it will?
It will.
Oh, my gosh, because the TSA guy who gave me the interview said it will. And so I'm like, this is great. But when Dave said, who's a great guy, I've known Dave for 30 years, when he said that he didn't think it would, I went online and searched, and it said I couldn't.
Okay, so, and then he called me back and said he called the Homeland Security people, and they said, yes, it can.
So that's how screwed up I think a lot of this is.
So now you're back to zero, aren't you?
Well, I'm going to check again, I think, but yeah. But, you know, Drucker and these guys, they were just told to paint the house. You know, they don't necessarily have to know how to answer the questions of why what color was chosen or whatever. Federal government has just told them they have to do this.
After 9/11, the federal government said we're going to institute this policy, and states balked at it. You remember all of that? Some said we're not going to do it, or we'll wait until the last minute. And finally, Illinois said, okay, we'll institute real ID because it's a federal mandate that doesn't have a lot of funding. So we're going to get these new driver's licenses. Now, some places that are open Tuesday through Saturday where you get your license are now saying we'll open on Monday, and on Monday, all we'll do is real IDs. Others of you go there, and it's Wednesday, and there's a long line, and you get very frustrated, and it sounds like not everybody at every station has all of the right information. One of you told us that you were told to come back next October and get it. No, you have until next October to get it. And the list of questions and conundrums goes on. So here's what we've done. I spoke to Dave Drucker today at Jesse White's office, the Secretary of State, and I said, listen, I've got like 52,000 whatabouts. I'm going to send them to you. I want you to have the right answer ready on all of them, and then we'll just click through these next week. So here's a reminder to you. 312-981-7200. You could text me right now, 312-981-7200. Elif will send them to him, and he'll knock as many of these out as he can. So if you've got a 17-year-old that's traveling, My understanding is, I don't even know what my understanding is. Send us what your questions are about Real ID. And next week, Wednesday or Thursday, we will get you an answer to these questions. We'll keep you posted, but I'll happily do that.
I mean, Dave, just imagine Dave, when the callers called and they were complaining about lines or the poor guy, I apologize, you know, it's not his fault.
Well, no, but it is his responsibility.
But I know, that's what
You're
I mean.
You're the voice and face of the office.
And that's my point, right.
And Jesse wasn't here.
You don't put that on a t-shirt at the cocktail parties is my point, I guess.
What do you not put on your t-shirt?
I represent the Secretary of State's office.
Some of them, the people couldn't be more happy and friendly. Mostly, I think they're not. But as my wife said to me, because Brenda had a real good experience, she was in, she was out. I went downtown Chicago and got my stickers, and I was in and I was out. It was very efficient. It was not a friendly environment. It was not a happy vibe. And Brenda said, well, I'm not paying for happy. I'm paying for my license and my sticker. If you can get me in and get me out, you don't have to wish me a nice day. And that was my experience as well. In a perfect world, it would be both. I don't know why those people seem to be so frequently sour. And if you're the not sour state employee working behind one of those glass cages, I'm sorry if I've misrepresented you, but a lot of us run into that.
Again, though, their job, they're not meeting with a lot of people who want to see them, right?
Well, they're not the people that towed your car and you've got to get it back from
under
it.
No, they're not.
Yeah, we are. Okay, so let's do this. Elif said, move on. I'm not a big college football guy, but I'm big enough to have it on at our house over the weekend. And this weekend, the biggest college football game of the year is going to be on. I've asked a couple people just to walk us through a couple of nuts and bolts on this, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to be somewhere, the game's going to be on, and if you're like me, you don't really dive into this stuff, it would be nice to have some appreciation of it. Kevin Powell, it's Alabama and LSU, right?
It's a big one, John.
I also asked Sam Panionovich, who knows a little bit about this, to join us on the phone. Hi, Sam. How are you?
King John, doing well. Actually, I can't stop thinking about your last guest when she asked you, did you play sports? I thought that was a really good moment in your show.
I did, too.
Why do you think that was a really good moment on my show?
It was just funny because you didn't, I don't think you expected that. It was pretty great. But they don't know about your kicking acumen. They don't know how good you were in college.
As a field goal kicker for the Joliet Junior College Wolves.
This is my favorite call of the day, by the way. Keep going.
Go Wolves.
We didn't have a lot of success with me out on the pitch, but out on the field, but it wasn't always my fault. The one time it was really rainy, and when the kid put the ball down for me to kick, he laid it down like an egg, flat. I was kicking the ball sideways. It bounced off the lineman in front of us.
It's a good effort, though.
I didn't back off. I didn't grab the ball and run for it. Of course, I was just a skinny little fella. But we were the number one nationally ranked football team in the country for junior colleges at the time. Couldn't get the ball off the ground.
But the only problem with that is you didn't get a chance to go on Good Morning America when you missed that kick like Cody Parkey did. Could have been better. So, no, you brought up LSU and Bama, and I think Kevin would agree. You know, this college football season, week number one, you had a couple really good games. You had Oregon and Auburn. I believe it was LSU in Texas, but since then, a lot of these really good teams have really not played anybody. Alabama has not really played anybody this year. Clemson hasn't played anybody. Ohio State's schedule has been very easy, and they scored, I think, 50 on Northwestern when they came to Evanston. So it's going to get hot and heavy late in the season. They have Ohio State and Penn State coming up, too. That will realistically decide the Big Ten. But LSU, Bama, I mean, you're talking about two top three, top four teams, depending on who you ask. Vegas or the Bowl Makers. This is going to be a showdown with a lot of NFL talent on both sides of the field. And right now, Las Vegas says Alabama is about 6 points better. I tend to disagree. I think it's going to be a much closer game.
What do you think, Kevin?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great game. But yeah, as Sam mentioned, 6.5. So Vegas feeling big on Bama. It is at Alabama. LSU has a quarterback, and so does Alabama in Tua. Who's been out with an ankle injury, but he's expected to play. He's probably going to be the first quarterback selected in the draft.
Both is he the Hawaiian kid?
He is.
Or Samoan. I think he's Hawaiian, isn't he? Or from Hawaii? Now, he's this terrific quarterback. Am I right about that?
He's the kid. Yeah, Tagovailoa is the one that came in. He was a true freshman when Alabama was losing to Georgia in the national championship, and then he came in cold the second half, and they came back and they beat Georgia. Won the national championship, and he was really the top you know, contender. We thought coming into the season it'd be Tua and then Trevor Lawrence from Clemson. Those would be the two front runners for the Heisman Trophy, best player in college football. But the front runner right now is, ironically enough, LSU quarterback Joe Burrow. And that's really been the issue for LSU over the years. They've always had a really good defense with a lot of playmakers. They have good running backs and good receivers, but they never had a quarterback that could throw the ball down the field. And that's certainly what Joe Burrow does well. Not to mention Alabama, defensively, they're not as strong as they've been in years past. They don't have four or five NFL guys on this roster on defense. So this should be a shootout. This could be like 38-35. I think if you're going to watch one game this year, you should watch this one, LSU and Alabama.
Yeah, to your point earlier, Sam, with the scheduling, college football, for a while, people were frustrated because all these Power 5 teams were scheduling cupcakes in the early weeks, and everyone's like, well, why would you start your season like that for the fans? And teams started scheduling big-time programs early on in the season. But, yeah, as you said, we haven't seen any real great matchups over the past few weeks. This is a big one. The LSU's one in the AP Top 25. Bama's two. But what really matters is the college football playoff rankings. The top four get into the playoffs right now. It's Ohio State one. I still think the Buckeyes are going to win the national title. But Ohio State's one, LSU two, Bama three, and Penn State's four. So two Big Ten teams right now, if it ended today, would be in the college football playoffs. That's going to change. Sam, I don't know how you feel. How much is even going to change in these rankings? I guess unless there's a blowout one way or another, I think they both remain in. Maybe the loser drops out, but they're still very much in the playoff picture, both of these teams. But winner has a clear path to the SEC championship game and a spot in the playoff.
Yeah, this stuff will change, and it'll balance itself out. After LSU plays Bama, if one of them looks decidedly better, then they might drop the one out of the four. I mean, it might happen. And then when Ohio State and Penn State play, that loser will drop out. But don't forget, and it's funny, nobody talks about Minnesota this year.
Yeah.
And P.J. Fleck, they are undefeated right now with a huge home game this weekend against Penn State. I mean, that's, you talk about a coach getting a leaping win. And when I say a leaping win, to go from, you know, stone one to stone two in the building of a program. I mean, these guys are playing really good football. They've got a really, they got like three running backs that they use, and they're all serviceable in different ways. They have a good defense. That'll be an interesting game, too. I think Minnesota's going to hang around against Penn State. That could get interesting.
And Minnesota has a right tackle that, I'm not kidding, is 400 pounds. He's like 6'8", 410 pounds.
Kevin.
They're getting no respect, too, Sam. They're 17th. They're 8-0, and they're 17th. There are multiple teams with have multiple losses ahead of them in the polls. But
people don't even go to their games. You watch the crowd at a Minnesota game, there's nobody there. And they've got this good team this year. Kevin, do you agree with Sam? 70 points scored Alabama and LSU? Going to be a shootout?
I don't know if shoot. I think the winner will be in the 30s. I'll put it that way, I guess.
And just one more thing, guys, and then we'll move on. So what's the most interesting thing? Is it, will the LSU quarterback be better than the Alabama defense? Is that the where the game hangs?
I think much of the conversation leading up to it with Tua, the Bama quarterback, and his ankle, and Burrow in the Heisman conversation, to me that's the biggest thing to look at, is which quarterback outplays the other.
Is that where you are, Sam Panjanovic?
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. I think LSU's defense is definitely better than Alabama, And LSU, if their quarterback is the real deal, this is the time to prove it. We've seen over the years quarterbacks that can throw accurately, like Johnny Manziel, Jacob Fromm, Trevor Lawrence, they can beat Alabama because all you have to do is get the ball to skilled players in space, and then they make one guy miss and they're gone. LSU has plenty of those guys, and they have an accurate quarterback.
And for any Bears fans crossing their fingers that the Bears might land one of these quarterbacks, you can give up on all that hope because the Bears don't have a first-round pick next year. So as much as you may want to watch and think about one of these guys.
Yeah, wasn't Mitch Trubisky one of these guys of his year? I mean, Trubisky was number two in the draft. Everybody thought, wow, let's get that hot quarterback. Are you guys convinced that these guys are going to be stars in the NFL?
I don't think Tua is going to be all that good. I don't know how Sam feels. I just don't. I just don't like his. I watch him and he doesn't wow me. I'll just say that.
How about you, Sam?
Are we talking about Trubisky still?
No. apply the same to him.
Well, that's my point. I think it's hard to know. I think the evidence is clear. You get guys that get drafted and then they're busts in the NFL.
For sure. I mean, and that's why I always make the case when people rip teams for trading away draft picks. I go, I don't know if you could put an exact number on it, but a majority of draft picks will be busts, especially in the NFL, where guys last for just a couple of years. It's teams that prioritize draft picks more than getting proven talent, I think, are doing it the wrong way.
Last comment
for
you, Sam?
There are a couple quarterbacks that I think it's interesting every year because we have these conversations about which quarterbacks are, you know, in the first 5 picks or 10 picks or whatever. And then you look at Russell Wilson, who was a third-round pick out of Wisconsin after he went to North Carolina State. I like a couple other quarterbacks that are off the board. I like this Justin Fields at Ohio State. He's not draft eligible this year. And I also like the quarterback at Washington, Jacob Eason, who went to Georgia. I mean, you can find quarterbacks at any part of the country. You got to just find the right one and develop them the right way.
Is Jacob Eason related to Tony Eason?
I believe that's his son, yes. And Tony Eason, of course, was needed QB on the Patriots.
He was a good quarterback. By the way, Sam, you sent me an article that says Indiana sports books, right across our little state line where they have sports betting and we don't, right, hit more than $90 million in wagers in October. Am I reading that right?
You're reading that correct. Now, they didn't make $90 million. That's just the amount of handle, the entire state of Indiana. That's not just the Horseshoe and Hammond. That's the entire state. But they wrote $91 million in tickets. Total profit was 11.5. So that's a lot of money for the state that they didn't have going into October, right? They make $11.5 million. And I saw the sports betting numbers at the Horseshoe and Hammond, which is, as you know, you could walk there from Chicago if you wanted to on the east side down there. Their handle was about $11 million written. And a lot of that business is coming across state lines.
So the state, Sam, just to be clear, took in $11 million from tax revenue?
That's what they made. That's the profit. That's the profit in October. Indiana made $11.5 million sports betting. But I think the bigger number.
Yeah.
In the month, yeah. $11.5 million in 1 month. And the handle is, that's a big handle. $91 million in bets wager. That's a lot of money.
It's not hard, Illinois. It's not hard.
All right. Hey, Sam Paniadovich, thanks for your time today, my friend.
Hey, you have fun tonight.
What am I doing tonight?
I don't know. Just have fun, whatever you're doing.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate the call. I mean, I'm planning on having fun tomorrow, too. But, yeah, I guess I'll start tonight.
It's Friday night, John. Let's get after it.
Well, you can tell him my life is less interesting than it used to be. Friday night, I should have plans. I'm thinking, wait, what am I? You know what I'm doing? I'm going to hear some jazz tonight. So there's my bright side. I'm already looking forward to it. I have something else we need to cover. Ella, if we got one break, right? We'll take it now and come back. And it's just the beginning of a conversation we'll have next week. We'll do the bright side after the news at 2:30. The rules of the road. There was another bicycle automobile fatality. We had a couple of them in the Ravenswood neighborhood in the last few weeks, and I think there have been 5 in the state this year. So that's not a lot, or maybe it was in the Chicago area. But I think a lot of us, as there are more and more bicycles on the road, are having questions about who has the right of way in certain situations. Mary Wisniewski, the terrific transportation writer in the Tribune, wrote this week, the driver of a dump truck who struck and killed a bicyclist Wednesday on the northwest side has been issued citations accusing him of negligent driving and making an improper right turn. The bicyclist was killed about 7 a.m. on Wednesday near Milwaukee and Kilburn Avenues. The truck driver, identified in the police report, here it is, was going south on Milwaukee with the bicyclist on the right of the dump truck. So the truck's going to make a right-hand turn and is within its right to make the right-hand turn. But the guy evidently doesn't see the bicyclist coming on his right-hand side in the bicycle lane. And in that instance, the vehicle is supposed to yield to the bicycle. The vehicle yields to the bicycle. But I don't think we're all in the habit of looking out our passenger rearview mirror or checking that bike lane.
Well, it's a difficult thing to assign fault to the victim, you know, but the truck was in front turning.
Right.
But the truck is still responsible for the bike coming upon the truck.
And the driver is the one that's being ticketed here. So it's interesting to me because if you're the driver, you think, oh, good, I'm in my right and I'm making a right-hand turn here. I'm not doing anything wrong. And then there's a bicycle out of nowhere that you didn't expect to be coming. And it's your responsibility as the vehicle to yield to the bicycle in that situation.
Well, was there any witness testimony about him not using a turn signal? Because a lot of cyclists would go around if they saw a turn signal.
Police initially said he appeared to be making a legal turn.
Okay.
Which is funny to me because it's... I don't know what the definition of a legal turn is then. If you're running into somebody...
Well, I'm presuming that he had made the stop, had his turn signal on, and was, you know, not running a red light or anything like that.
The portion of the street where the crash happened has a bike lane. A motorist making a right turn is required to check for bike lanes and be aware of bicyclists approaching the intersection, according to the rules of the road. So... I guess one of the, you know, just this is a tragedy. One of the takeaways is, though, I think if you're a bicyclist and you know you have the right of way, don't assume that the vehicle knows that or cares or even sees you. There are so many times driving around the city of Chicago now. I look, for instance, today I came to an intersection and I looked to the left, looked to the right before I proceeded. But, you know, my line of sight goes to where the other vehicles would be. And then sometimes I forget to double check now the crosswalk. But with the cars parked on the road, people suddenly emerge from beyond parked cars in the sidewalk. You've got like a half a dozen checkpoints before you proceed. Which you well know if you live in the city. But if you make a mistake or if you're not used to that, I'm telling you, there are a lot of things that you don't anticipate that will suddenly emerge. And now there's this bicycle lane and people take it seriously. They're exercising their right there. And you will be wrong if you make a right turn. More about that next week. But that's where that story is, as I understand it. A couple quick points. Next week, we'll invite the Secretary of State's people to come back on with us and answer more questions about your real ID. We did a not real good service for you yesterday about this time. We heard a lot of complaints and questions, and then we all kind of fumbled around for answers.
Well, but you learned about how to get it done.
We did that, yeah. And we'll do a more specific and better job, so you can text your questions to 312-981-7200, your real ID questions, answered in the 2 o'clock hour next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, midweek next week, we'll do it. I'll give you plenty of advance warning about that, but you can text in your questions, and then we'll promote it on our page and on this show. And then one other note, and this is just another thing that we'll also do next week. I'll just talk with you more specifically about some of the rules when you're driving and riding a bike around Chicago. But just back to Mary Wisniewski's story in the Tribune today for just a second. That's a dump truck. Dump truck struck and killed a bicyclist Wednesday on the Northwest Side. The truck driver got a citation because the bicyclist on the right-hand side in the bicycle lane has the right of way. The bicycle's going forward, and as the truck driver is making a right-hand turn, he runs into the bicyclist, and the cyclist is dead.
Well, yeah, you know, and it's very difficult because I wish we could talk about it without talking about this accident, because obviously it's a tragedy for this woman. But even the terminology we're using, that the truck struck the bike, as I understand it, the bike went under the back of the truck. You know what I mean? So it wasn't as if the truck driver turned into the path of this bike. The bike was behind the front of the truck when the collision occurred.
Your point being that maybe in this instance, the cyclist had a chance to see the truck turning and could have avoided it?
I don't know for sure, but it I mean...
That scenario is plausible in other situations, right.
Right.
And let's not layer more heartache on these people. But I'm talking about this because I think we all are in this situation a lot. And I think the cyclists need to understand that people sometimes don't see or sometimes don't care because they're aggressive and they don't like cyclists. So I just think there's a hostile environment out there for bicyclists, and they'll tell you that in Chicago. And bike lanes and being bike friendly doesn't make it friendly out there. That's the deal. That's the truth of it. The truck driver was going south. The cyclist was on the right side of this dump truck, according to Chicago police. The driver turned right onto Kilbourne. The truck crashed into the bicyclist who rolled underneath. The portion of the street where the crash happened has a bike lane. A motorist making a right turn is required to check for bike lanes. But I've got a lot of texts about this particular story, and here's just a couple of them. City Driving 101, check the right mirror before a turn. That's not necessary in the suburbs or in the country, but that is necessary in the city. John, I pass home every day at where that bicycle lady was killed, and she would have been on his right-hand side of the truck. Yeah, well, that's evident. 630, John, myself being a semi-driver, when you come up to these intersections, there are so many blind spots for the truck driver. People don't realize that. It should be the responsibility of the bike driver and not solely that of the truck driver. That's my opinion. 219, a dump truck cannot stop like a car, especially if it's loaded. 773, John, I'm not a cyclist, but I'm sorry. Bicycles do not belong in vehicular traffic. Cars and trucks and bikes don't mix. Well, that ship has sailed. Because we can't fix that. And in fact, I ride my bike in the city. I ride to and from work once in a while, mostly along the lake. I'm terrified of driving. I would not come down Michigan Avenue. I would not come down some of these city streets. I'm a bad enough driver as it is. I don't want people like me navigating me on a bicycle. So I don't know what the takeaway here is, except here's the takeaway. Because you see people that have the right-of-way in intersections. They have the right-of-way in an intersection. They've got their head down looking at their phone. They got their buds in, and they're slow walking through the street. And I'm like, you may have the right-of-way. That doesn't matter if you get hit. Now I sound like an old man, but this is just like, this is the truth for everybody, regardless of your age. That you have the right-of-way doesn't make you immune to somebody else's mistake. Okay, I'm done with that. We'll talk more about it next week. Oh, goody, John. 241 on WGN.
Am I better off dead? Am I better off? Saints and sinners and Chicago winners, man. Can you call me again? Tilted halos and California payrolls. It's all the same in the end.
Didn't mean to cue this song up to that place, but there it started. What are we playing, Ella?
Tilted Halos by Garrison Krotz.
Who's Garrison Krotz?
He's my bandmate. Funny you should ask that question.
You guys are performing when?
Thursday the 14th, so this coming Thursday at The Store, which is the name of a bar. Don't get confused.
The Store in Lincoln Square?
Lincoln Park.
Lincoln Park, The Store in Lincoln Park.
2002 North Halsted.
That's Thursday night you guys are playing?
Yeah, at 9:30. It's free.
Do you play an instrument or do you just do vocals?
I play piano and I sing.
Hear you in this particular track, do I?
I'm not in this. None of my bandmates and I, except for Garrison and the people that worked with him on this song, are on the recorded track. But, you know, we just met like in May.
Do you sing lead vocals or do you do backup vocals?
I'm harmonizing, so I'm kind of like backing vocals.
And you play the keyboard when you guys are on stage?
Yes.
Obviously, you've got a great voice, and I know you're a good singer because I hear you do that on the halls. So we'll get a chance to see you on stage Thursday night at The Store in Lincoln Park.
Yes.
Don't get far. 242. What's a beer going to cost me at your gig there, Ms. Garris?
Like $6-$7.
That's not bad in the city.
By the way, my band is listening, and they are engaging with the previous topic about cyclists in the city.
Do you have some cyclists in your band?
Yes, we have one, and he's our drummer, Scott, and he was not happy with the victim-blaming portion of the conversation.
Bertrand pulled me aside, and he goes, I do not want to be victim-blaming here. I said, I don't think you are. I hope that it did not sound that way, and maybe it did, but I think what we're really talking about is forget the accident that happened on Wednesday. If you are a bicyclist in the city, and I'm a car in the city, you have the right of way on the right side bike lane, but that doesn't mean that the car is not going to make a mistake. God, the other day, I think I told this story on the radio, it was on Halsted. Bicycle in a van, and they got into a disagreement about who had the right of way. The car then speeds up, locks the brakes, and turns the car into the bike lane to block the bicyclist from going any further. And then the guy jumps out of the van, runs over to the bicyclist, and the two of them are having a really loud face-to-face conversation about who was right and who was wrong. I don't know who was right and who was wrong. If I'm a bicyclist, the moral of that story is people are crazy, people have cars, and the right-of-way isn't going to fix my problems if they make a mistake. Yeah. All right, some things to do this weekend. Normally, Lauren Lapka will join us in studio for this. Lauren's not here today to do that, so let me just run through a couple of things that you might want to do this weekend. The Festival of Wood and Barrel-Aged Beer is at the UIC Doran Forum on Roosevelt Road tonight and tomorrow. $85, but it sounds pretty good if you like wood and barrel-aged beer. Visit FOBAB.com. The 4th Annual Publishers Fair is tomorrow from 11 to 6 at the Constellation, Chicago, 3111 Northwestern Avenue. 30 printmakers with their self-published work for sale. You into that? Self-publishing? The 4th Annual Fair is tomorrow, 11 to 6 at the Constellation, Chicago, 3111 Northwestern Avenue. Antique Show at Winnetka goes until 6 o'clock tonight and 10 to 5 tomorrow. Visit WinnetkaShow.com. Fantasia, Robin Thicke, Tank, and Bonfire play at Wintrust Arena tomorrow. Tickets are $55 at Ticketmaster. Dead Man Walking, I've heard good things about this, is at the Lyric Opera Sunday at 2. Dean Richards was talking about it. Tickets start at $49. Visit lyricopera.org. On the sports docket, the Bulls play the Rockets tomorrow at the UC at 7 o'clock. Blackhawks play the Penguins tomorrow at 6. That's away. But tonight at 7 o'clock, the Northwestern Wildcats take on Merrimack. That's a home game. And our pregame coverage will begin at 6:30 with Dave Ennett. And tomorrow, and it'll do the Boilermakers and Northwestern. That's an 11 a.m. kickoff here on WGN. Our Bright Side of Life segment is where you call in and give us some good news. All right, all of this other stuff, let's put it on the shelf for a minute. Let's start your weekend with a smile, shall we? 312-981-7200. Hey, Kevin, are you going to whistle for us?
Some things in life are bad.
Warming up.
All right. They can really make you mad.
You want us to join you, or are you going to solo?
Let's do it together, John. Teamwork makes the dream.
When you're chewing on life's gristle.
Hey, call me now.
That grumble. Give a whistle.
312-981.
This'll help things turn out for the best.
7200.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Maybe the best, yeah.
Always look on the light side of life.
Ah, shoot, I blew it.
If life seems jolly rotten.
Sorry, Kevin, you were on a roll. You gave the ball to me, and I fumbled. I'm apologize.
Can I go first then for the bright side?
Go, man. What's your bright side?
My Hershey Huskies out of the second round of the IHSA 7A bracket playoff football situation. They've got a game tomorrow against Lake Zurich, 1 o'clock. Go, Huskies.
That's what we do on the bright side. What's some good news in your world? Brenda and I are going with some friends from out of town. Going to hear some jazz in Chicago tonight, and I'm just really looking forward to Brendan having time with them. I'll spend some time with them, and then I'll exit stage left. It'll be good for everybody.
You must always face the curtain with a bow.
Pick up some phone lines here. We'll start with Johnny. You're on WGN. Johnny, thanks for calling. What's your bright side?
Your Royal Highness, King John, why don't you do this every day? You're so wonderful. Really, I mean, I just love it, love you, but this, you should really do it every day. We had a beautiful little Maltese dog for a long time, about 15 years, and we had a bunch of pictures, and we moved, and the movers lost the pictures. And I swear to God, just today, I recovered one photo of our little dolly, and so we're so happy that we can finally blow it up. We'll have a picture of her. That's right, Fred.
Hey, here's what you got to do. Hold the line. Johnny, I want you to talk to producer Elif off the air. Let's get you one of those Bright Side of Life pins, too, okay?
Terrific.
Attaboy, you hold
Terrific.
On.
Thank you.
Yeah, our friends at the Joint Relief Institute, they sponsor the Bright Side. Send some money to some folks to make thousands of Bright Side of Life pins for us. And we can award a few of them here and there. Oh, he's got to have one. It's a real nice little pin. Let's go to Tim. You're on WGN. Tim, what's your bright side? You're on the radio. Hey, Tim, what's your bright side? All right, I'm coming back to Tim in a second. Hang in there, Tim. How about, what was the one? Carl, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Carl?
Hey, John. And I believe your producer said you went to see this recently. I'm going to go check out Teatro Cinzani at the Cambria Hotel.
I went over there the other day to check out that scene. I haven't seen it yet. I've heard wonderful things about it. Chris Jones gave it a nice review. And I went over just to check out the venue. You're going to have a ball there walking in. It's a great place.
It said online, the Kit Kat Club on Acid.
It's a funny name, too. Teatro Zenzani. Teatro Zenzani. What a nice show. Kate, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Kate? You're on the air.
Hey, King John, first of all, thank you. I got my Brightside pin. I called you 2 weeks ago. My husband and I were going on vacation. We hadn't been on vacation for like 3 years.
3 years, I remember.
We just got back from New Orleans on Friday, my first week back to work this week. I am so rejuvenated from just that time away. But I also agree with the previous caller that, man, you know what? You got to start doing this on a Monday and a Friday.
Maybe Mondays, huh? Thanks for the call. I'm glad you sound rejuvenated, Kate. I'm going from Kate now to Brian. You're on WGN. What's your bright side, Brian? You're on the air.
Yeah, I was up in Door County last month. I came out of the hotel. Somebody had backed into my truck and damaged the bumper. He left a note. I called him. I came home, took it to the shop, had it repaired. They contacted him, and he paid the bill.
That's the glasses half full. My car got hit, and that's my bright side. That's what I'm talking about.
There's still hope out for there for people.
John, I like this one.
Yeah.
From the 815. This week we moved into a small subdivision where my husband's best buddy and his wife live. The guys are both 70 years old and were neighborhood buddies since they were 2 years old. A friendship of 68 years and still going strong, John. It's your last chance of the hour. So
always look on the bright side of life. Hey, Mary, you're on WGN. Let me make sure I put up the right line here. Hey, Mary, are you there? You're on the air. Hi.
Hi there.
What's your bright side?
We are celebrating our 27th anniversary today.
Wait a minute. 25th or 27th? You need to know this one, Mary. Which one is it?
27.
All right. All right. Do you get him something? Do you get somebody something for the 27th, or do you just kind of pass each other in the hall? What happens on the 27th?
Well, we're going out to dinner, but our gift to each other is a new air conditioner and clothes dryer.
That's the difference between the first anniversary and the 27th. But you sound great. Thanks for the call. Happy anniversary.
Thanks, John.
We're out of time. We do this on Fridays. Didn't make enough time for it today, did we? 312-981-7200. You call or text. Thanks to our friends from the Joint Relief Institute for sponsoring the segment and handing out some Bright Side of Life pins. Elif, take a couple more of the calls off the air, and let's make sure they get one, too, on WGN. By the way, what was the name of the lady that said her bright side was she used the ketamine from Dr. Nandra and that it went great? What was her name?
Joyce.
Joyce, did she get a Bright Side of Life pin?
She did.
Yeah, let's hear it for people who patronize and have nice experiences with our sponsors.
Three more from Facebook. Nancy, Joe, and Evelyn. Woohoo!
Okay, thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.